There's the whistle. Go, go, go! Second half, my three subs action from the Center Circle Studios.
Usually he's talking about other folks, but today let's talk to him and about him. And we have on the program today, writer from the Daily Memphian, our friend John Varlas. John, thanks for joining me on the podcast. How you doing?
I'm great, Tim. Thank you for having me, man. It's a lot of fun to come in here and talk to you.
I have enjoyed your writing for a long time, and it's great to finally actually meet you in person. It's great to put a voice and a face with the pen that's always usually to the paper.
Well, I appreciate that. Yeah, and same with you, man. You know, it's when these old timers get together, and you know, I think it's always kind of cool because, like you said, we've seen how the market has changed, and you know, it's a little bit, you know, we can bring a little bit of perspective to it. Hopefully, we'll see how it goes.
I've read so much of your work. I don't know how many pieces. I don't know how many hundreds or, you know, over, I guess, 20 plus years, thousands of pieces that you've written. But you've pretty much run the gambit in this market.
I really have, and you know, thankfully, the Daily Memphian has even, you know, has allowed me to expand on that a lot. I mean, you know, I'm still focused primarily on the high schools, but, you know, last couple of years I've done a lot of coverage with the Liberty Bowl. You know, I've helped out with, you know, Tiger football and Tiger basketball a little bit, which is always fun. You know, I covered the golf tournament this summer, which was just phenomenal. You know, I've never covered an event that was that, you know, that kind of magnitude, you know, on an international scale, like, you know, like that golf. I mean, it was just amazing to be, you know, to see that kind of thing unfold.
I'm just kind of curious, do you walk the 18 or how does somebody cover that?
I know there's a press tent and we just we kind of just sit in and watch the scores, you know, constantly get updated on this big board. But yeah, but you know, you might go out and watch a few holes of a particular player. I did some feature stuff, so I went out and watched, you know, a couple of holes of whoever I'd be writing about. But no, I'm there's no way I'm going to be walking the 18 holes. Those guys are, you know, they say golfers aren't athletes, but these guys clearly are. I mean, these guys are in fantastic shape, and you got to be in pretty fantastic shape just to keep up with them.
I need a chiropractor after playing around a putt-putt. So I have no idea how they do it, John. But yeah, in a few moments, I want to talk about your most recent assignment, but you've covered soccer for quite some time at various levels. How long have you been watching the game?
Oh, I mean, my soccer watching goes back to childhood. I mean, you know, in terms of, you know, kind of growing up with it, you know, having a dad that was an immigrant, you know, he was big into soccer, and we'd always have the soccer magazines and things like that around the house. I mean, you know, talking, this is like back in the 70s, and, if, you know, of course, back then it was a lot harder to find soccer, you know, anywhere. I mean, you may remember this. They had a program on public television every Saturday afternoon, Soccer Made in Germany, with
Toby Charles,
with the great Toby Charles. Yeah, and I dug that every Saturday afternoon. I would just, you know, be eager to sit in front of the TV and tune in and see these images, you know, from coming in from Germany, and Toby Charles, you know, had that voice, that baritone, and he made everything sound so important. You know, every match was just like so important, and, you know, you're sitting there watching that as an 8-9 year old kid. It's like, you know, it's like this stuff coming in from a distant planet, and it's so cool. I mean, you had your baseball and your football and basketball on TV, but, you know, this was just so much different and cool, and so that was kind of where the seed was planted. And then, you know, I was in Chicago for school during the summer of 86, and got to watch a lot of the 86 World Cup on a Spanish language TV in Chicago, and that was a thrill to watch, you know, Maradona and the great Argentina team in that World Cup in 86. And, you know, subsequently with the growth of the internet and social media and everything, it's just made it that much easier. But yeah, in terms of watching, I go way back. I go back about as far as you can, really.
I would be interested to see somebody, and I'm not trying to outsource this to you, but I'd be very interested, because you mentioned Diego Maradona. If someone were to do a fictional what if piece, if VAR had been in effect when the hand of God happened in the World Cup, how would the world have been different?
Might have changed history altogether. I mean, we might have known him for the other goal he scored in that match, which was, you know, which was arguably the best goal of all time, and certainly deserving of more memory than, you know, than a cheating goal. So,
yeah,
you're right. I mean, history could have been changed significantly. Who knows? But yeah, I mean, just watching that World Cup, watching Argentina, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, Tim, but to me, there's just something kind of magical about soccer and growing up in one country and following and being able to follow something from a different country and, you know, and see the culture around it, the fandom, you know, the passion, you know what it's like in your own backyard, but to see it, you know, in another country, it's like, oh, well, this is what these people do. And this is kind of cool too. I mean, it's really, really, to me, it was always really a special thing to a huge treat to just see a soccer match growing up.
You know, depending on the day of the week, it, you know, there's a various number of countries in the world. You know, there may be more or less. What time is it right now? I mean, there could be new countries form with so many different languages and language barriers. But when you get 11v11 on a pitch, it becomes a universal language because you can understand what a player is going to do. You can look at the strategies. You can see if a player is good or not. You don't have to know the language. In fact, a lot of the players on the pitch oftentimes may not even speak the same language, and they still find a way to get it done. It does transcend borders. It really does.
It really does. And you know, and a lot of people might, you know, think that's kind of corny or whatever, but it's true. I mean, it really does bring people together, and in a way, it's kind of made the world smaller. I mean, I'm so grateful to live in a time where you can have so much ready access right at your fingertips to soccer, you know, leagues in England, Spain, you know, Italy, France, any, you know, anywhere you want to look, you know, leagues in Africa or Asia, if you're interested, you can find information on that. And it's so readily available. And it's just fantastic. And it's anything beyond, you know, what I would have imagined sitting there as a little kid watching my little black and white TV and watching a 30-minute highlight show of, you know, edited matches from you know, from one country. It's mind-boggling.
Who were your favorites growing up? Which players, or which, I guess, in which teams did you follow?
Well, I like most people that are neutral. You know, I gravitated towards Brazil and players like, you know, Socrates and those guys in the 86 World Cup. You know, they didn't win, but, you know, they had such a fantastic, fun and you know, colorful team, you know, played some really attractive soccer, and it was just fun to watch. You know, I gravitated towards Pele before that, you know, seeing the old Pele videos and things of that nature. But yeah, so I always gravitated to that. But I think now in my life, I'm at a stage where I don't really have a particular favorite. I just like to see good games and just appreciate the skill that these guys do. You know, I just tune into the game and hope that I see something that, you know, kind of makes me jump out of my chair a little bit, or you know, something that I'll remember, you know, later on in the week and say, oh God, what a great pass that was, or what a great shot that was. You know, that's kind of where I'm now. But yeah, you know, like a lot of us, I was brought into it by the great Brazilian teams, the yellow jerseys, the, you know, the blue shorts, the long hair, the you know, the great passing, the great movement, the great goals, the tricks, you know, all of it was incredible.
Well, and each team tells a story, because you got the Brazilians who are risk takers on the field, and then you've got the Germans who are so structured and very safe in the way that they oftentimes play. But both teams on their day could be extremely dominant back in the old school days.
Oh, very, very much so. And you know, you put Italy in there too with the style they played, that was also more defensive minded, you know, back in, you know, we're talking back in the 70s and 80s. Back then they were pretty defensive minded as well. But yeah, but you know, and then, you know, I mentioned Argentina again and some of the great attacking players they had, you know, Maradona and you know, Claudio Canizia and those guys. I mean, it's just, you know, really great memories, man, and great team. I'm getting nostalgic here just talking about it. But yeah, I mean, the 80s, mid 80s was a really good time to kind of come into age as a soccer fan, because you really got to see some, you know, tremendous talent and some real memorable teams and some great games and some, you know, it was really a good time to kind of come of age as a soccer fan.
Sports writer for the Daily Memphian, John Varlas, joining us on the podcast today. And John obviously has a wealth of knowledge from watching matches. And then we, I guess, go back a year or two, and here in the Memphis, Tennessee area, the United Soccer League announces that they are going to be bringing a franchise into Memphis, the division just below MLS. Of course, enter John Varlas, who has extensive experience in watching, and you've heard him talk about covering soccer, and he's covered a lot of prep ball lately. When this franchise, which at the time was called USL Memphis, was announced, was this something that the publication came to you with, or did you raise your hand and say, oh, me?
Well, I certainly would have, Tim. I definitely would have lobbied for it, but I didn't have to. They came to me first and said, hey, you know, we think you'd be a great guy to do this, and you know, we want you to do this. And I'm like, yeah, I want to do it too. So it was an easy, it was an easy thing to sign on for, because, you know, I think I kind of had the reputation, you know, among print media types here in town of maybe being the most knowledgeable person about soccer. I mean, seems kind of, you know, arrogant to say that, but I think it's true. I think I had, you know, probably more soccer knowledge than any, you know, print media type in town. And so I was, from that perspective, I think I was a kind of a natural person to ask for it. But yeah, I mean, I would have lobbied for it, but I didn't have to. And they just said, hey, you know, hey, JV, go out and do it. And I've done it, and I've really enjoyed it, man. Being around a professional soccer team is, you know, it's really been an eye-opening experience on a lot of levels. It's been fun. It's been a great learning experience. It's been it's been an interesting season. A few highs, a few lows, but overall it's really been interesting, and it's been good for me, you know, professionally and as a soccer person. I've learned a lot.
For you, I know that you've had the opportunity for year after year, school year after school year, season after season, to cover the cycle that is high school soccer and other prep sports. But here comes this franchise that's an expansion team in a league which a few Memphians are sort of familiar with if they watch some of the streaming services. For you, what was it like to cover a team which had no history at all?
Well, I mean, I'll be honest with you. I didn't know what to expect. I didn't, you know, as much soccer knowledge as I'm sitting here, you know, saying I have, and as much, you know, interest as I have in the game going back, you know, 30, 40 years to childhood. I mean, I didn't know anything about the United Soccer League. I honestly didn't. I obviously, you know, was pretty familiar with MLS and the better players and the better teams in MLS, but I didn't know anything about the United Soccer League, honestly. So I didn't know what to expect. I didn't know what the quality of play would be like. I didn't know, I just didn't know anything about it. And so from that standpoint, it's been a really pleasant surprise to see, you know, just the skill level of these guys, Tim. You know, I, like you said, I watched so many high school games throughout the course of the year, boys and girls, and you know, and we're talking about high level high school programs like Houston and Collierville. I mean, these kids are really, really good.
Nationally ranked in some instances,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. But then, you know, when you go out just to training and see these guys and see what they can do, you know, skill wise, it's just mind boggling. Because I mean, think about it. You know, they're in the USL. They're not even in the top level here in America. But these guys are so good. So it gives you just an appreciation of what they can do. But think about what a Messi can do. You know, somebody that's even, you know, that's way better than these guys. You know, it just gives you a really tremendous appreciation of what goes into making a good soccer player. You know, the touch, the vision, the balance, the stamina these guys have. You know, it's just incredible. And we, you know, obviously we've got some really good players at 901 FC. We've got guys that are, you know, national team players for their respective nations, and guys that aren't, but they're still really good players too. Guys like Cam Lindley and Brandon Allen. I mean, these are really good soccer players, and it just goes to show you, you know, that regardless of the level of competition, you know, when you get to a certain level, you know, you got to have something. You know, you got to have something going for you to make it to a particular level. You know, these are really good players, and it's really been a joy to see them work.
The Memphis team, 901 FC, plays at a baseball stadium, AutoZone Park, in Memphis, which means the press box is located essentially in the near corner of the soccer pitch. For you, John, for a man that's watched matches for decades like myself, as part of your job, where do you watch the match? And maybe there's a part B to this, or maybe it's the same answer. Where is your preferred place to watch a match?
I watch it from the press box, and I'm right down there on that corner like you're talking about. I mean, I guess, you know, to visualize, it would be basically where home plate is. But yeah, basically I'm looking at the Memphis Mafia and you know, one of the goalkeepers. You know, the other goalkeeper is pretty far away, so it's like, oh, you know, they're going to go away for a few minutes. Oh, here they come back again. So, you know.
It's like NASCAR.
Exactly.
Here they come. And whoop, and there they go.
Exactly. But I don't know. I mean, the vantage point is pretty good for me. I mean, it's not like you would have, you know, the television view if you were sitting, you know, way above and sitting at the center of the pitch and you could see things developing, you know, a little more easily. I mean, you do lose that. You know, you do lose some of the sidelines and things of that nature, but yeah, you know, but I can't complain. I mean, I think they've done a fantastic job, incorporating soccer at AutoZone Park. I think everybody that's come down there for the matches this year has had a ton of fun. I mean, golly, that exhibition game they had this summer against Pachuco. I mean, what an experience that was. I can't imagine, you know, anybody that went to that or some of these other, you know, league matches wouldn't have had a fantastic time. So, I mean, you know, in some ways it's not ideal, but in a lot of ways it's perfect. And from a media standpoint, I certainly have no complaints. Like I said, I'm honored to do it and be a teeny tiny part of the whole production.
John Varlas is a sports writer for the Daily Memphian. It's a digital newspaper, and you can check it out at dailymemphian.com. A great app, and John has been writing on sports for more than 20 years. When it comes time for post-match interviews and whatnot, when it comes time to interview coaches and players, do you have to kind of dial it down to keep from getting in the weeds after the match to get sound for the matches? How does that work?
I do have to dial it down because being kind of a fan, you know, when they play really well, you know, I kind of get excited too. I mean, I know how hard these guys have been working all year. It's been a slog. I mean, they started, preseason started in February. I mean, I remember, you know, going out to a game at the U of M in February for an early exhibition game, and it was, you know, bitter cold out there. This game where they beat
Bethlehem Steel.
Bethlehem Steel, right. They beat Bethlehem Steel 5-0. I mean, just to watch that game and knowing how hard the guys had worked, you know, to produce a result like that, it was hard not to feel good for them. It was hard to kind of temper your enthusiasm and be professional and say, well, coach, you know, that worked out well. I mean, you know, you want to shake his hand and say, man, you guys finally did it. You know, I know you've been working for this. It's really hard to separate that when you see these guys all the time. But so, yeah, that's the thing. It's hard not to feel good for them when they have success. It's hard not to feel bad for them. I mean, they've had, you know, quite a few games this year where they, you know, took a gut punch and gave up a goal at the end of you know, late in regulation or, you know, maybe late in the first half that changed the tenor of the game. So it's hard not to feel bad for them in those cases. And that's the thing, just, you know, taking the feelings out of it when you're around these guys, you know, often and knowing how hard they work and how, you know, how much they want to produce success for the city, because they really do. That's all. It's one of the things they always talk about. We want to be successful for our fans and for our city. I mean, it means a lot to them and the entire organization.
I'm not asking you to talk out of school, but yeah, just generally speaking, are those guys pretty good guys?
Yeah, I think generally speaking, they're fantastic guys. I think the only you know, problem, if it is a problem, I think a couple of them are really shy. You know, not used to dealing with the media, and that's not a negative. It's just the way they are. You know, I don't think any of them, you know, you would say are bad guys, and the majority of them are really good guys that like to talk, that give good quotes. I mean, Liam Doyle gave us a fantastic quote. He said his defender was all over him like a rash, you know, and he said it in his British accent. So it sounded so cool, and it, you know, even better than, you know, when I said it. So they're great guys. They're really thoughtful. They're smart guys, and what I like too, talking about them, Tim, is you know, you get a different perspective with talking to these guys. Talking with somebody like Liam, who's from Britain, or talking with somebody like Dwayne Maquette, who's from Trinidad, or Adam Najem, whose you know, background is from Afghanistan, or even just guys from different parts of the U.S. You know, Cam Lindley and, you know, Jochen Graf and Brandon Allen and these guys from different parts of the country. You know, they just bring in a different perspective and a different way of thinking about things that you don't get, you know, when you're, you know, covering high school football and everybody's from the same neighborhood and the same, you know, the same city and, you know, kind of has the same way of going about things. It's really enlightening.
That's a good point, because in high school, a long distance relationship is somebody from another subdivision.
Right. When I was in high school back in 86, if you knew a girl from, they went to a different school, I mean, you were like a big deal, because, you know, you were like so worldly. Oh, he knows a girl that goes to a different school. But now everything is different. But yeah, to talk to some of these guys, you know, like I said, Dwayne, Leston, Paul, you know, the guys from Trinidad, you know, they have a totally different perspective from somebody like Cam Lindley, and he's got a different perspective from somebody like Liam, and it's all really fascinating to me and interesting, and you know, and even Coach Mulqueen, you know, with his background, 30 years of experience, and he's a Jersey guy, and he's seen it all, and I mean, everybody has something different that they bring to the table and a different way of thinking about things. And you know, even though the subject is still soccer, they're all coming at it from different angles. And to me, that's really interesting and fun.
Are you shocked at the attendance numbers?
I'm not shocked, but I am pleasantly surprised, because I knew there was always a good kind of underground soccer community here in town. I mean, and you've known that as well too, probably, you know, being around as long as you have. So I think if anything has surprised me that it hasn't fallen completely off the cliff now that, you know, football season has started. You know, it's fallen off some, and I think that's inevitable, and I think, you know, they probably expected that and kind of factor that in. But you know, to still see, you know, 6,000 strong, you know, there on a Saturday night during the football season, I think is awesome. And I'm not shocked. I'm pleasantly surprised. I'm glad people have gotten behind it. But I knew it would work, and I knew that, you know, playing at AutoZone Park would draw a lot of folks down there. And you know, once I met, you know, Craig Unger, the owners, I mean, I knew these were sharp guys, and I knew they would, you know, make it work. And even though the success on the field has not come yet, I mean, you know, I think they've really planted the seeds for something special going forward.
You're a Memphis guy, aren't you?
Yeah, I graduated from Kingsbury High, class of 1986. We're now a bit of a soccer power as well.
Yes, you are.
We've had some success on the soccer pitch, but yeah, I graduated from Kingsbury, and you know,
I'll throw it out there. Kirby, class of 89. If you gave your age, I'll give mine too.
Yeah, there you go. So yeah, so we're
unashamed.
So we're the same age, same generation. And when you and I were in high school, I mean, nobody had soccer programs. Maybe Germantown. Germantown was the big program back then, but you know, you didn't have soccer all over in the high schools like you do now. I mean, you know, even a lot of these charter schools have teams now, and it's just fantastic to see, you know, with the growing, you know, diversity here in our population, you know, more people from Latin America coming into Memphis, and that population is just getting bigger and bigger as the years go on. It's kind of trickled over into the public schools, and as a result, that's trickled into the soccer programs and made high school soccer here really, really interesting and fun and competitive.
And appreciate the fact, John Varlas is with us. He's sports writer at Daily Memphian, and appreciate the fact that you bring that to life in the Daily Memphian, and they give you the freedom, they give you a long leash to cover those sports in the fall and the spring. So year round, it seems like you are basically the Swiss Army knife of the digital newspaper. You may be at the prep golf championships one day, and then out at the soccer pitch the next. But tell folks a little bit how they can follow you on social media and how they can subscribe to the paper.
Sure, you can follow me at Twitter. It's real easy. It's at John Varlas, just my name. You can find us on the Daily Memphian website, dailymemphian.com. We always have good, you know, high school content up. Soccer playoffs are coming up. Only $7 a month, Tim. I mean, where can you get a better value than that for such a, not just me. We've got Jeff Calkins, Drew Hill, Jonah Jordan, Don Wade. Our whole sports staff is hitting you all over the place.
Can you even get a decent sized pumpkin spice for $7? I don't know.
You can't even get a decent pumpkin for $7
That's
anymore.
That's true. Even the little baby one started at 10.
Oh gosh, I was at Sprouts the other day, and I was shocked at the prices of pumpkin. And you're right, even these little ones, they're smaller than your head, but they're, you know, $15. It's ridiculous.
John Varlas, Daily Memphian, thank you so much for joining us on the podcast. It has it's been a privilege to finally get a chance to meet you. Enjoy your writing, and best of luck in your future writing, and see you out probably at the field, the golf course, the court, the pitch, and I guess anywhere else where there might be a ball or a sporting competition.
I really appreciate you having me, Tim, and I hope I didn't ramble too much, because like I told you before we got started, I get excited about soccer, and it's just something I'm passionate about, and for me it was a treat. I really thank you.
Well, hey, between as much as you can write and as much as I can talk, it was pretty much a perfect match from the start. So it worked out perfectly. John, thanks so much.
Thank you.
There's John Varlas from the Daily Memphian. And before he goes, we got to send out a little bit of love. He's got a great podcast, too. Make sure you check it out. It's called In the Trenches. John Varlas from the Daily Memphian.
More next on My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey.
I love talking soccer, but I also love talking about real estate, too. And people ask me about both a lot. And one of the big questions I get in real estate is, how's the housing market? The housing market looks great, and interest rates are near historical lows. And really, it all comes down to, when is the time right for you? If you're ready to make your move, give me a call. Tim Van Horn at Cry Like Realtors. 901-756-8900 is my office number. Brody, can I give him my cell number? Oh, I can? Okay. 901-262-5000. That's my cell phone. You can also go to my website, timvanhorn.com. I can help you with your move around the block, around the city, around the state, and even around the world, too. I have a network of relocation-certified agents just ready to help you. They are dying for your business, and I can put you in touch with those. All it takes is pick up the phone, give me a call. 901-756-8900. That's my office number. You can call me at my cell, 901-262-5000. Or just go online. Check me out at timvanhorn.com. That's timvanhorn.com with Cry Like Realtors.
This is My Three Subs, a soccer odyssey. And we have added time to the podcast.
You like this swag, Tim?
Love it.
Oh, yeah. We got My Three Subs swag. And I don't mind wearing this, unlike my Arsenal stuff.
Are we recording right now?
Absolutely. We're recording right now.
Oh, well, then we need to probably tell people that we will put a picture up on the website.
Yeah, we've got scarves and glassware. Perfect gifts, by the way. If you want to order some, maybe you can hit us up and we can order you some.
Just in time for the holiday. In fact, the first six glasses I tried to ship on the sixth one, I finally got it to its destination without breaking.
Hey!
So I have figured out how to do the handling part of that.
So non-broken, pre-broken glasses for your holiday.
You buy it, and there is a high probability it will get there in one piece.
There you go. So anyway, you can hit us up. We're at My Three Subs Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram. Stuff that I don't mind. If you're like me, an Arsenal fan, who we will not support our team right now because our club refuses to support itself.
I've got three names for you as possible candidates.
For
manager.
Yeah, I would love to be, you know, talking about a manager, except for the fact that Arsenal won't even talk about it. Like, here's my problem with Arsenal right now, is that, see, with the U.S. men's national team, we get told there's a process. Got to trust in the process, right? We talked about that in extra time, or in the bonus show last week. Well, this, with Arsenal, there's no process. They don't even talk about anything.
There is a process. I will tell you exactly what the process is.
It's let's suck until we suck no more.
You show up in front of the TV screen, or you pay your £60 to go into the match, and then for the next 90 minutes, we're going to underwhelm you.
Yeah.
That's the process.
And it's gotten to the point now where it's starting to affect the way Arsenal has looked at. I mean, Arsenal used to be a powerhouse, man. We used to be good. We used to be great.
The days of Graham, the days of Wenger.
Gosh. And I mean, you know, you'd go out and watch a really good club put on a really good show, you know? Now you just go out and you're like, damn, what happened? What happened to us? We were so lovely, you know? And I think the frustration is now with Arsenal that there's no talk. Pochettino's open, you know? Go after him. Or at least talk about it like you're going to.
I've got another name that you could probably get at a discount as a coach that would be really good.
Who?
That used to play there. I've got
Arsenal?
I've got a short-term answer, and I've got a long-term answer. Yeah.
Who's out there from Arsenal that used to play there?
Okay. I'm going to give you a long-term answer, then I'm going to come back to the short-term answer, because that the short-term will blow your mind. The long-term, you'll go, oh, okay. Long-term, Patrick Vieira is eventually going to be an Arsenal manager because he managed New York Red Bull. He's over in France managing now.
Yeah.
They're mid-table. I don't know if he's ready. Heck, he may come back and manage Inter Miami and work on building a club here, practicing here, before eventually going to Arsenal. But I think someday, Patrick Vieira, the former captain, will manage Arsenal. That's your long-term solution. I know you're looking for a shorter-term solution.
Well, we're looking for right now because we have to do something now.
Pochettino is one option, all right? I don't know how much he would cost. Maybe that's too expensive. But I think if you don't want to pay that much, then you look up at Manchester and you bring down former Arsenal midfielder Mikel Arteta, who is Pep Guardiola's right-hand man at Manchester City.
Give him a shot. Why not? Let's see what happens. And he could be a long-term thing.
Maybe so. I think he'll be successful eventually.
I mean, with those
somewhere,
young guys, you know?
He's probably the best Spanish midfielder that never really got a run in the national team. I've always thought of him highly. He played great at Everton.
Right.
He played over 100 games, I think, at Arsenal as well.
Yeah.
Very solid player. Pep Guardiola loves the guy. Surprised that he's even still there as an assistant on the staff. But Arteta wanted to stay and learn more from Guardiola. That's why.
Right.
But maybe now is the time that you bring in an Arteta for the here and now. If you don't want to splash.
He knows how, you know, as far as recruiting, how that would work now because he's been a right-hand man. Not a bad look.
And if Pochettino ends up taking that Bayern Munich position that we talked about at the at about halfway through the second half of this podcast, then that means Pochettino's not an option at Arsenal. So then right. I think the dominoes continue to tumble there.
The only reason why I don't think Pochettino's an option at Arsenal right now anyway.
Because they're a mess and he doesn't want a mess?
They're a mess, yeah. They're a mess. They're an absolute train wreck right now.
And that's why I think Bayern does make a bit more sense than it did, you know, a week or two ago, because Bayern, with Müller out there, they're on all cylinders. That team is ready for someone to come in and lead
them. I think
them.
it's going to take a young player, if you will, an ex-player who understands this current gen. Because I think Arsenal, the players that are in Arsenal, that your core group of guys, while they're older, they're not old. You know, it's not an old team. It's not like we're sitting here talking about, like, you know, 40-somethings on a pitch. You know, basically, like, the leftovers at Arsenal. You've got decent talent out there. It just seems untapped potential. And I think what, you know, if a, you know, your younger guys, like we said, your long-term solutions come in, they could surface now and salvage a season. Well, we're not playing at the bottom rungs anymore.
You have Arteta, who has played under David Moyes in that grinded out style. Sometimes it wasn't pretty, but it was very effective. They were always in the top half of the table every single year. He's played under Arsene Wenger. He knows.
I love ground and pound soccer, and it's good stuff.
He knows beautiful football, too, because when Wenger was in his prime, I know he began slipping the last few years. But he also knows how to play, how to put the foot on the gas pedal as well. So he's seen that. He appreciates Arsenal's past, and he's the kind of guy that I think that if you brought him in, he would want to bring that back.
And a little bit of finesse ball.
And with him being vetted by Guardiola and winning championships up there, and seeing what that winning culture is, and knowing how to talk to the players, know how to reproduce that. Because sometimes the best players, or any players, don't know how to relate to other players that either aren't as good as them or as motivated. If you can't get motivated by some of Guardiola's speeches, then you just don't have a heartbeat.
Or maybe you don't need to be on that pitch.
Right. So I would not sleep on Mikel Arteta. Pochettino would be a good pick, but I think long term,
I don't know if
it's 5 years now, you know, or however long. I think, again, Patrick Vieira is eventually going to get that job because he is beloved there. He is an ambassador. He can do no wrong there.
I think that is our better move, above even Pochettino. I don't think Pochettino will surface up at Arsenal. I just don't. Now, prove me wrong, okay? But I don't see Pochettino moving to Arsenal, one. Two, I don't see Pochettino fitting at Arsenal because he's going to get there and go, well, we need a clean house. You know, this isn't going to work because, you know, these strings that are holding this together aren't working. So he's going to cut ties with a lot of people, and that's the brass at Arsenal is going to go, but we like them. You know, and that's not going to fit. I see a younger guy moving in and going, okay, here's what we got to work with. We're going to make it happen.
Well, at the very least, It's Thanksgiving week. You still have a lot to be thankful for. Heck, you could be me and a West Ham fan. We don't even have enough terabytes of data to hold a discussion on what's wrong with West Ham.
Well, you know, and at least we got that pretty quiet stadium.
It is. Know? It is. It is a beautiful stadium.
I've you can hear booze in, apparently.
Yeah, the acoustics are nice for booze. I thought it was it was just booze. Ooh. All right, where can we catch the podcast?
Of course, anywhere you can find podcasts, but mainly on your iHeartRadio app. We are everywhere. You can also get in touch with us, maybe get a hold of some of this My3Subs swag at My3Subs Podcast on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
That's about all I got for this week, other than wishing you, wishing our sponsors, and wishing our audience a very happy and safe Thanksgiving. We have a lot to be thankful for. Heck, we're sitting here and we're talking about soccer, having a great time, and very thankful to be able to do that, and thankful for you for taking time to listen to us.
There's the whistle. Thank you for listening. Check out more of My Three Subs podcast, A Soccer Odyssey, at 1019kissfm.com and on the iHeartRadio app. The Watchers have observed. The Council has convened. The gathering of geeks converges, and they're set to discuss everything happening in the geekdom.
Tank locked, loaded. Get the latest on everything in the geek universe with the Geek Patrol.
The Geek Patrol is on Geek Tank Radio.
That's what we call ourselves. Sort of like a team.
This is a KISS original. Only on 1019KISSFM.com.